Lord, give us wisdom before we speak, understanding while we listen, sensitivity towards those we meet, and the perspective of your kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Once a month, I take communion using previously consecrated bread intinctured with wine to the mainly female residents of Yarlswood Immigration Removal Centre. For those of you who don't know, that's just about 5 miles up the A6 from here. This is a truly amazing experience. When I arrive in the chapel, a small number, perhaps 6 or so, Christian women, mainly from Africa, are in full flow, praising God and Jesus in a loud and lively manner. After a while, I'm invited forward, whereupon the women switch from uninhibited worship to a shortened, sedate act of Anglican communion. Quite a change. By this time, the numbers have increased to perhaps 20, and people continue to drift in throughout, so I have to be on the ball to ensure there are enough wafers. Before beginning the communion, I also invite them to come up for a blessing after I've finished administering the communion. At this point, I never cease to be amazed at how many more women appear for a blessing than received communion. Sometimes the line seems never-ending. Now, there could be several reasons for this. They could be Roman Catholics and not feel comfortable taking communion from me. Or perhaps they could be fasting. Whatever the reason, they seem to deeply value personal prayer, clinging perhaps to hope in their time of fear, trusting, as in the words of the prayer for Christian healing, that they may receive Christ's healing touch to make them whole, and that Christ will bring them to wholeness of body, mind, and spirit, and particularly for them, to deliver them from every evil and to give them his peace. These are some of the special words that may be used this morning if we accept the invitation offered to us prior to taking communion to receive prayer for Christian healing and wholeness. Special and specific words which can bring us comfort and hope, which, like receiving of the bread and wine, are beyond rational thought, but can and do make a difference, not only to our own lives, but to the lives of those we love and care for. We may be reluctant to open ourselves to such prayers. We may not be convinced that prayer makes a difference. We may feel unworthy of prayer. We may feel we have no need of healing. If that is the case, then I would encourage you to take that first step of and in faith, knowing that prayer is based on Jesus' own practice and desire. We are perhaps familiar with Jesus' own healing miracles, but he also passed this gift on to his disciples. And in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verse 7, Jesus sent out the 12, 2 by 2, and gave them authority over evil spirits, and which we are told in verse 13, that they drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. This practice continued into the early church, most dramatically perhaps in the restoring of Paul's sight. Acts chapter 9, verses 10 to 19 describes Ananias having a vision in which he is ordered by the Lord to find Paul, previously known as Saul. And then when Ananias found Paul, we read he placed his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. As we heard this morning in John 14, this is only made possible by the power of the Holy Spirit. In verses 16 and 17, Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." And in the letter of James, chapter 5, verses 13 to 16, the writer encourages Christians to pray for the sick and those in trouble, saying, "Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." So we are assured that the prayer for Christian healing as offered during this service has the authority of God. Recently, after taking a service of communion by extension in a village parish, I was reminded once again of the significance of personal prayers or blessings. When told by two of the congregation how much they valued receiving a blessing during a communion service, one was not confirmed, so chose not to take the bread and wine, and the other was recently confirmed, but very much missed the blessing they regularly received prior to confirmation. So now this is our opportunity to accept this aspect of God's love, our opportunity to experience it and to know within us the deep truth of Jesus' own words from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 21. "Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Amen.